All right. Good morning, everybody. Great to see you this morning. Wow, what a great time it's been worshiping Jesus. Can we give our gratitude to our worship team just for pointing us towards God in such an amazing way? So, well done. Well, hello to you. I haven't seen some of you in quite some time. Pastor Allison and I and our family, we went on holidays for a couple of weeks. In fact, the longest holiday I've had since my honeymoon. And generally, the holidays we've had have only been either 1 week or 2 weeks. On this occasion, we decided to be adventurous and we took 3 weeks. So it's literally in 20 years of marriage, just something that we've done. And so it was absolutely fantastic. We're in the USA and we wanted to, it was our 20th wedding anniversary on February 1st of this year. And so we wanted to have a memorable experience with our children. And so it's something we've been planning for quite some time and took the kids to Disney World and went on all these crazy rides. Got to meet Mickey Mouse, can you believe it? And Donald Duck and Goofy. So it was a terrific family holiday, but we missed you guys and looking forward to this next phase of what God has in store for our church. And we are glad to be back with you worshiping Jesus and growing in God's word. This morning I want to preach a sermon called On Purpose. I want to preach a sermon this morning about your future. I want to talk to you about your dreams. I want to talk to you about destiny. I want to talk to you about God's plan for your life. I want to talk to you about what life may look like, in 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now. I don't know about you, but have you ever asked yourself the question, am I actually doing what God has called me to do? Am I actually fulfilling God's mandate, God's purpose, God's dream, God's destiny for my life? I take comfort in scriptures like Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Philippians 1, verse 6. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. But today I want to help you. I want to help you unlock what God has actually called you to do. Who needs some help this morning? I want to be like the Apostle Paul, who towards the latter part of his life said, I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. And today we're going to look at a scripture of a great man of God in the Bible. Hundreds of years later, the Apostle Paul looks back, speaks about his life, and this one verse is so packed with revelation, with insight, so that we can walk in everything that God has called us to walk in. I do need to say this morning that it doesn't matter about your location today. It doesn't matter if you feel like you've missed it. It doesn't matter if you feel that you've blown 10 years of your life or 7 years of your life. The God that we serve is a God of restoration. And he can restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. God's a God of rapid acceleration. One day with the Lord is like 1,000 years. God can do anything. He can speed up time. He can move. He can shift. He can shape. And there are so many people who live under the spirit of condemnation because feel like they've missed some things, but I want to declare over your life today that you've not missed it, you've not failed, Jesus has won the victory, and we need to walk in his victory today. Acts chapter 13, verse 36. Acts chapter 13, verse 36, we are a word church. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will stand forever. Acts chapter 13, verse 36 says, for David, if you're David today, you are blessed. After he had served, one verse, his own generation, by the will of God, he died. There it is. We can go home now. David, after he served his own generation by the will of God, he died. Number one, the Bible in this verse doesn't just give us a number. It just doesn't talk about someone in a crowd or in the queue of life waiting to get their turn, a face in the crowd. Number one, the Bible identifies a person. His name is David. You need to know today that when God calls you, he just doesn't call a face in the crowd. He calls somebody that he knows intimately. He calls you by your name. The Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 3, he calls his own sheep by name. Come on, church, by name. And with that, he leads them out. Why is it important that you know this morning that God has actually called you by your name? Well, as you journey in the purposes of God, you're going to hit a couple of valleys along the way. You're going to hit a storm and you're going to hit a river that you have no idea how to get across. You will have people who will treat you nice, and then you'll get those who like to throw knives for some reason. You will have all kinds of experiences in the purposes of God for your life. There will be people who will support you, and there will be lots of opposition. You will get people who will love you, and then there are those who will doubt you and wonder, are they really called? One day they'll say, let's make him king. He's riding on the donkey. The next day they'll say, crucify him. We don't like him anymore. People are fickle. You must understand that the reason why you need to know that God calls you by your name is because you've got to find where your security comes from. Your security must be found in your relationship with Jesus. If I built my life on the opinions of people, I will be an emotional wreck. If I built my life on everything that people say or has said and will continue to say, oh my goodness, I am done, people. I must find my security in what God says about me. This occurred to me as a young youth pastor, 23 years of age, just like Action Jackson. I go to my first youth pastor gathering, and you've got all the super youth pastors and the new youth pastors. I want to be a super youth pastor, as all youth pastors do. I go to sit with the super youth pastors, and they move to the next table so that Brad can be with all the new youth pastors. I tell you, I was so mad. I wanted to boxercise some people. But I tell you what it did to me. I emotionally withdrew. And I thought, am I actually good enough? Are they trying to say something about me? Are they trying to say that maybe you've got another 20 years to go, then you can come and sit at our table? These were the international youth pastors and Brad's just the local youth pastor. But I quickly learned that if I build my life on those things and I build my life on the opinions of people and I build my life on the emotions of what people might be thinking or projecting, I'm done, people. I must find my security in Jesus and what he says about me. He knows you by your name. I've had all sorts of opinions about me, most good, but how many of you know that it's the negative ones that seem to like get stuck in your back for some reason? I've had people say that Brad really shouldn't be preaching. I think he's more of a business manager in a church. How good is that? I'm still mad about it. People will always have wonderful opinions about your life. wonderful things to say about who you should or shouldn't be. Have you ever thought about why when Jesus, the demons were speaking out and they were saying, oh, that's Jesus, he's the Christ, he's the Messiah, and Jesus silenced them? Well, number one, it wasn't his time. He didn't want the people to know that just yet. But there's a second reason why, and the second reason is no one can actually name you except God himself. People will name you. They'll say this is who you are, this is who you're meant to be, but it's only God who can truly name you. It's only God who can actually tell you who you are. You are Peter, and on this rock I build my church. So here we go. You cannot fulfill the call of God upon your life unless you find security in him. Because one day you'll go this way, then you're going to go this way. I'm meant to be a singer. No, I'm actually meant to be an evangelist. No, I'm actually meant to be a business owner. No, I just want to do this. And you will keep changing because pressures come and opposition comes, and you must know what God has said to you. Isaiah 43 verse 1, but now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not. God is the one who's redeemed you. Here we go. I have called you by your name. You are mine. Exodus 33 verse 17. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. Come on, that's where your security comes from. Doesn't come from what you have. Doesn't come from what people say about you. It will always change. Trust me. I've been doing this a long time. I've got to know what God says about me. Isaiah 49 verse 1. Listen to me, all you different or distant lands. Pay attention, you who are far away. The Lord called me before my birth from within the womb. He called me by name. Can you say amen? I've got to find my personhood in Jesus. It is the foundation of the call of God. Everybody wants the 7-year picture. God, just show me what it looks like. The problem with that is you start to place your security in that rather than in Jesus. You must know what God says about you. You've got to have the character that matches the calling. It's always character before gifting. And that is found in our relationship with Jesus. Can you say amen? Come on, church, amen. The Bible also gives us a clue about David. It says, for David, lorded it over his generation. Is that what it says? No, the Bible gives us a clue. It says, after David, or for David, he was chased by Saul, almost destroyed. He had to know what God said about him. What did he do? The Bible says that he served his own generation. An announcement. Are you ready? Da-na-na-na. The call of God is all about serving other people. Oh man, I thought it was about me. I thought it was about my YouTube clip. I thought it was about what I was going to become. No. The key, or one of the keys to the call of God, is finding your personhood in Jesus. Number two, you got to get the posture right. You cannot be what God has called you to be unless you take the posture of a servant. We are never leaders who serve. We are servants that have been called by God to lead. Can you say amen? We live in a generation of fleeting popularity. The more YouTube likes and Instagram likes and If I can bang my finger on a thumb and get it on video and put it up on YouTube, oh my goodness, I'm a famous star for 24 hours at least. Come on, the Bible says that David served his generation. Selfless humility. God's not actually looking for superstars. If you actually think, oh gee, I wish I had that gift, wish I had that ability, or if I could do that, if I could look like that. God's not after superstars. He's actually looking for servants. Remember in Adelaide, when I was living there, there was a guy who wanted platform time. He wanted a position in the church. He wanted a place of influence in the church. Ooh, he wanted influence. Now watch him when church finishes. And if you can't be a servant, how can you be a leader? Because it's actually your servanthood that actually places you in that position of leadership. So let me say this to you. You can be super anointed, but if the people don't receive your ministry, it doesn't mean anything. You can have all the gifts, but if the people don't receive your ministry, the Bible says he could not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. You can have, Jesus said, all the anointing that a person would ever want to fulfill the purposes of God, but the people didn't receive his ministry. How do the people receive your ministry? Get out in the foyer. Look for the lonely person who's come for the first time. Give of your heart. Give. Don't be one of those people who like, oh yes, God is awesome, and then the service finishes and I'm out of here. Look for somebody who needs the love of God, who needs the kindness of God. Serve. Be a servant. The way up is down. Come on. Much fruit equals much pruning. Give of your heart to other people. And the Bible says promotion does not come from the north or the west, east or the south. The promotion comes from God. All he's asked you to be is a servant. How awesome is that? That we get to be servants. Hey, you know, I was thinking, Jesus said, well done, my good and famous servant. No, he said, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've heard me say this before. I think of Moses. Moses, what a leader. Talk about experiencing miracle power and seeing God do extraordinary things through your life. I mean, Moses is the man. A guy who would talk to God face to face as friends chat with each other. Comes time for Moses' funeral. He's been the man, led the children of Israel out of slavery, over 400 years of slavery, and this is the man that God chooses. It's time for God to speak about Moses. If I was God, I'd be like, Moses, we are so sad today. The incredible leader who faithfully served my will. You are courageous. You are a man of unswerving resolve. What does God say? Joshua chapter 1 verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. The highest honor you can have is to be called a servant. Greatest honor you can have is not to be called the apostle, not to be called the evangelist, not to be called the superstar of Christianity. The greatest honor you can have in the kingdom of God is for one day for God to say about you, you are my servant. Church, we need to say a deep, passionate yes to the things that matter. What matters? It's being a servant in God's house. What matters is looking for the needs of other people. What matters is who's lonely in the church. What matters is who's that new person in our church that doesn't have anyone to talk to in the foyer. I'm not rushing in, rushing out, doing my McDonald's Christianity. I'm looking for people who need love because I'm a servant of God's house. God could have said of David, my king, my writer. Hey, We probably read some of his psalms this week. Talk about generational impact. David, my incredible singer. Talk about a multi-talented super guy. It was David. And God calls him a servant. How awesome's that? Well, you don't look very excited this morning about this whole servant thing. You've got to find your personhood in Jesus. I can never give it to you. No leader can give it to you. Another person can never give it to you. It's only God. Number two, we've got to have the posture of a servant. And now, let's keep going. Number three, for David, after he had served, amen, woo! Where did he do that? In his own generation. I love our generation. I love our generation with all its craziness, all the things that need to be fixed, all the things that make you mad when you watch the news. At the end of the day, church, we are called to serve our generation. Back in the youth pastor days, after a youth camp one night, take our guest speaker out, and we're in Fremantle. People go crazy in Fremantle on Friday and Saturday nights for some reason, and people are sloshed here, there, and everywhere. He looks around and he says, "These people, they make me sick." I thought, is that what Jesus would actually say? Is that what Jesus thinks about this generation? Come on, Jesus is full of love. He's full of grace. He's full of compassion. He's full of mercy. He's full of goodness, not devoid of truth. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. But I love our generation. You and I have been placed by God in this generation for this time, this moment. There's no point in getting angry. We will never achieve anything. Now, let me say this to you. Your doctrine might be right, but if your attitude is wrong, you are wrong. Should I say that one more time? Your doctrine may be right, but if your attitude is wrong, you are wrong. Your personhood's in Jesus. Amen? Our posture is to serve our generation. Serve each other. Not after a position. Come on, not after a title. I want something that's genuine, something that's authentic, something that touches people's hearts through servanthood. I know my place. I love this generation, and I want to make an impact for Jesus Christ. Number four, it speaks to us of purpose. Acts chapter 13, verse 36. You're getting something out of this morning? Oh, excuse me. For David, after he had served his own generation, how did he do it? By the will of God. Now, here's the bit that everyone was waiting for me to get to. Can't you just give me the prophetic word and tell me? You know why I think sometimes God doesn't give us those mega pictures or those incredible... Now, in 2018... on February 6th, this is what will happen. You need to make this decision, which will lead to this on March 18th. And then it'll all just kind of, you know, and the will of God will just all work out. You know why I think that sometimes so many of us struggle in understanding that part of God's purpose for our lives? Is because we actually choose to ignore the things that are foundational to that. Foundational things are my personhood is in Jesus. The motivation of my heart is not to end up on YouTube. The motivation of my heart is not a title, never has been and never will be. The motivation of my heart is, can you passionately say yes to loving this generation, my person, my position, my place? All of those things are in fact the foundation to what God wants to build. The Leaning Tower of Pisa is called the Leaning Tower of Pisa because the word Pisa means marshy. You can't build what God wants you to build in your life if the foundation is marshy. These are the things that are important to the heart of God. These are the things that matter. If we build these things into our life, it unlocks purpose. Because God can't bless wrong motivation. God can't bless, finally, the title is mine. He can't bless that. That's not the heart of Jesus. For David, after he had served his own generation, how did he do it? By the will of God. Church, God does have a unique plan for your life. I love that about our journey, our faith journey with God. He does have stuff that's unique, that's especially set apart for you. And the question does come up in all of our hearts, all of our minds. God, what's your unique assignment for me? What's your unique plan for me? Can you say amen? This is what I tell people. The will of God, you can put it into two categories, generally. There's what's called the revealed will of God. It's called your Bible. How awesome is that? The revealed will of God, and then there's the, what does 5 years look like from now, Lord? It's called the unrevealed will of God. Don't get so caught up in the unrevealed will of God that you actually don't pay attention to the revealed will of God. If that, the mystery, was more important to God, then he would have spoken more about that, but he gave us the Word of God. He gave us the book of James on how to treat other people, on how you speak about other people. The Bible says you can't have fresh water and salt water from the same opening. So all of these character things, the revealed will of God, and it's all there, teaching, speaking, helping us, building those foundations into our lives. So that as God, by His grace, journeys us in His purposes, we've got the right character, the right foundation to sustain what God does have for us in the future. The sad news is, church, is that if we don't give attention to the revealed will of God, we will not be able to handle the weight. I'm telling you, there's a weight. There's a pressure. There's demonic opposition. Look at the life of the Apostle Paul. You think he was walking through tulips every day? Oh, will of God's awesome. Bible says he was shipwrecked. He was beaten. The list went on. He was whipped. The list just went on and on and on. But if I know who I am in Jesus, and I know what He has called me to, and I know what He's saying, I'm unswerving in the purposes of God because it's been built on the right foundation. But we do need to talk about the unrevealed will of God. You know, I've discovered that one of the best ways to feel out, it's almost like the picture I kind of think about often is you're reaching out into the future. It's dark. You're trying to feel the shape of what God's saying. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Or is it just me eating too many Weet-Bix this morning? I reach into the future and I feel the shape of the purposes. Oh man, now I feel the power of God. I feel the anointing. I feel what it looks like. But do you want me to tell you the key to that? He's my best friend. His name's the Holy Spirit. I actually just fall in love with Him. And I remember, gee, I'm getting emotional about the Holy Spirit. In my 20s, when I was a youth pastor, I read the book, Good Morning, Holy Spirit. Who remembers that? Oh, thank you, Lord. And I thought, I'm going to practice that. Every day I wake up, Good Morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Holy Spirit. I learn about the Holy Spirit. And I learn about His voice. When I learned His voice, it started to teach me what was in and what was out. And I just fell in love with the Holy Spirit. I love what the Apostle Paul says, I speak in tongues more than you all. Speaking every day in the language of the Spirit. Because he knows the future better than me, so you may as well pray the prayers. Come on, church, amen. Just praying in the Spirit, declaring things in the Spirit. Just if you don't know what to pray, pray in tongues. Breaking things that the enemy has tried to put there in your future. The Holy Spirit knows the prayers that need to be prayed over your family. He knows what traps have been set. You just pray in the Spirit. And this is what happens. You fall in love with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, John chapter 15, verse 26, but when the Helper, everyone say Helper. Oh, church, come on, we're better than that. When the Helper, Greek word parakletos, meaning the one sent alongside to help. He's your aid. He's your advocate. He's your counselor. He's your comforter. He's the one who makes me stable. He strengthens me. And every day when I walk into the unrevealed will of God, I have the Holy Spirit. He's teaching me. He's speaking to me. He's putting the courage in my heart that's needed. He's saying, Brad, step out of the boat. Today's the day. But I don't want to do it, Holy Spirit. No, you need to do it today. I know the future better than you. You've got to fall in love with the Holy Spirit. You say, amen. The more you get to know His voice, you become sensitive. Just like we have five natural senses, there are five spiritual senses. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I can taste of the Holy Spirit. For we walk by faith and not by sight. You see in the Spirit. Oh, the Lord touched me today. Come on, touch. And it goes on and on. Ears, let him who has ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. I forgot the fifth one, but I'm sure it's awesome. And I walk in the Spirit. And as I walk in the Spirit, I get to feel and sense what the future's like. And it's exciting. And it's amazing. And it stirs my heart with boldness and with courage, because God has got good things in store for my future. As I feel the breath of the Holy Spirit. The more sensitive you become to the Spirit, Jesus said of the Holy Spirit, the wind blows where it wishes. You hear the sound of it, you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who's born of the Spirit. You need that sensitivity, church, to flow in the unrevealed will of God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Church, fall in love with the Holy Spirit. Fall in love with this, with His grace, His goodness, His kindness, His tenderness. Fall in love with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is your advocate. He's your strengthener. He will build you up. He will tell you what to do and what not to do. Listen to His voice. The most repeated verse of the New Testament is, let him who has ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. As you listen to His voice, He unlocks. And the map of the unrevealed will of God, you start to see, wow, I didn't see that before. Wow, I don't know how I'm going to get there. But I'm just trusting in Jesus, because step by step by step, I'm listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? Come on, church, can you say amen? The Parakletos. Yeah, come on, let's give the Lord a hand of praise this morning. Do you love the Holy Spirit? Come on, do you love the Holy Spirit? You love His presence? Love His anointing? We're going to worship Jesus. So Karen, if our team could come, please. And just, Karen had no idea I was going to finish in this direction. So I love that the two worship songs that we had just include that flow of the Spirit of God. Church, he's called you by name. Your personhood must be found in Jesus. Number two, you've got to know your positioning. We are called to be servants. Why? Because our place is this generation. Can you say amen? And then last but not least, what is it? We are, come on, I just spoke about it. Sorry? No, but it's a P. You got to, as in letter P. It's our purpose. We listen to the voice of the Spirit of God by the will of God. Just let's just stand up just for a moment and we're just going to begin to worship Jesus. I want you just...